Hello, welcome to Category 5 Coffee Break. I'm BP9, and then above me on my grid is Solbu. Give us a wave, Solbu. Thank you, sir. And then next to him on my right, top right, is Doug. Give us a wave, Doug. Thank you, sir. And then Peter is below him and next to me. Hello, Peter. Good to see you. All right. So I finally got reinvigorated with the Pine Time. That's this little device right here. It's about time. You're right. I bricked this several weeks, months ago, and I've always been having a problem with trying to get it to trying to program it, because this thing, I don't know how well you can see it, but these are the pins that you have to put in exactly the right place and hold them in place really, really carefully until the programming task is complete, which could take, you know, up to 30 seconds or whatever it is. And if you even tweak, if you even move that thing by just a little bit, you're pretty much hosed. You've killed it, right? So Pine 64 sell a set of pogo pins that is on a, it's on an adapter. It's on like a pencil. You hold it to the circuit board like you do a pencil, and it has the four pins lined up exactly right, and you can hold it there for as long as you need it, and it's solid as a rock. I'm still waiting for it to arrive. I ordered it a little while ago, and I have no idea what the postal service is going to do for me, because I went to the post office yesterday and picked up 2-3 months worth of third-class mail, magazines and all that fun stuff that, aviation magazines and stuff like that.
Lots of firewood.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought, where did all this come from? And I had a look, the dates on it were January, February, and I think December of last year as well. So I thought, well, that's crazy. They must have been sitting on a truck in the central depot for quite some time, just waiting for a truck driver to come and do the little delivery. So, yep.
But I think you mean that you got the things from Ameridroid and not from Pine 64, which is a device.
No, pine64.org, I think, is the website. Oh. Or pine64.com is the website. No, I ordered it from Pine64. I checked on Ameridroid's website. Sorry, Ameridroid, I did try, but you didn't have any. So I also checked for the mainboard on the PinePhone. Remember, I think I said last week that USB-C adapter on the PinePhone, you can put a dongle on that, and then you can attach a keyboard and a mouse and all to the dongle, and even an HDMI output for the screen. Theoretically, you can power it too, but none of that works on this phone, because the main board on this phone doesn't allow activation of that dongle. So I'm pretty much hosed. I have the two choices are, I could replace the main board, which is probably what I'll do, or and Ameridroid and I have talked about this, modifying the main board by literally removing some components. So they're very small components, and to my point, very hard to understand, very hard to locate. So I don't want to rip out the wrong components.
Yeah, the lovable before the motherboard, before the one before the laptop, before somebody gave it to me, and they put the security code on the BIOS, and you couldn't get it off. So the only way we did it was we changed the motherboard. We paid very little for the motherboard. And we played the whole bloody motherboard, and it worked.
Wow. Yeah.
And no one thought about removing the battery and leaving it for half an hour.
It doesn't work. It didn't work.
It's probably in persistent memory, right, Peter?
Yeah, it was in persistent memory. It wouldn't bloody move.
Right.
Once it was locked, it was locked. No, thing. Yeah. You couldn't get off. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is completely open hardware. The only piece that is not is the modem. There's a Quiktel or something modem inside it, and that's the only piece that's closed. So I also spoke with Ameridroid quite a bit about Ophono before I bought this Pinetone, and I went back and looked at our coffee breaks, the ones where the early ones where Ameridroid joined us, and Ophono is not actually a phone application that brings a screen up on or brings a window up on the screen. It's the low-level driver that drives the modem. Something else has to call Ophono to actually make phone calls, deal with texts, and do all that sort of fun stuff. So, and that thing is called, oddly enough, Calls. It was renamed to GNOME Calls for like a month and then turned back, then renamed back to be Calls. So that's, you all right there, Peter?
No, I've not been well, well.
Okay. That's my news. I'm eventually going to fire up this Pinetone again once I get it charged up and once I get those pogo sticks to or those pogo pins to properly burn an image on it so it'll run. There's an image called Infinitime, which looks like the most likely. Which looks like the best thing to try right now. So I'm going to try that.
Could you put blue tack around the pins? You had to hold it in, you know, something like that about blue tack.
No, the thing is that the pogo pins are about the size of my fountain pen here, which is just, I mean, it's just a fountain pen. There's nothing special about this, right? I mean, I've shown this to you before, but the pogo pins are on a plastic carrier that is shaped and sized much like this. So it really is no problem to just, once you get them in place, to just hold
okay.
them.
Okay, good.
Because I did try to use, as you can see, I did try to use the equivalent of blue tack on this case to try and hold the thing in place so that I could put these here and hope against hope that this thing would hold long enough to allow me to program it. And I never really did have any luck with that. So. All right, Salbu, you can go first. What's all going on with you, sir?
As you may remember, I'm a packager for the Linux distro, Mageia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any particular distro or no?
Mageia.
Mageia.
Yeah, it's a fork of Mandriva from back in the day.
Oh, okay. Is it Debian-based or RPM-based?
It's a fork of Mandriva, so RPM.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. On Friday, on the 26th, they launched a new version. Version 8.
Ooh, tell me more.
So in a few days, I'm waiting for a few days for all the mirrors to copy everything. Everything is copied, but everyone who is going to sync and who have their local mirrors, I'm waiting for all them to finish. And then I'm mm-hmm. going to I have an rsync script that will copy the entire mirror locally for my end. I'm only fetching the 32 and 64-bit version and the source package repo. And I'm excluding every debug packages because I don't need them.
Okay.
And still, that is about almost 200 gigs of data that needs to come down the pipe.
That's huge.
Yeah. But I like to have everything locally in case something, because 9 years ago, Mandriva went bust. Can you
spell that for me? What's that? The distro name. Spell that out for me. Or write it down if you want to do that. Put it up on a sign. like Peter does.
It's Mike Alpha November Delta Romeo India Victor Alpha.
Okay. I thought you were saying Manjero for a minute there, Manjero, and that's a distro that runs on one of the distros that runs on the PinePhone, or Manjaro, I think it might be. So Yeah. And that's not it, right?
No. Before they called themselves Mandrivar, they called themselves Mandrake.
I remember Mandrake and Mandriva. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Mandrake
okay.
had to change their name because they lost a legal case in France. Of the company who owned the rights to the cartoon character Mandrake.
Oh, the dog, of course. Yes. Okay.
So
hate that.
So they and at the same time as they around the same time they lost the court case, they bought the another distro, Connectiva, and a South American distro, and merging the two, they thought that since they anyway had to change the name, they combined the two names. So
nice. Sometimes I forget about how many distros and how many different distros there are.
On Wikipedia, there is a graphical chart of
I know
all the existing and defunct distros starting from Slackware and the two before that. It's a big
If you Google if you Google the official distros of Linux and you count in Debian and everything else, it's hundreds.
Yeah.
Maybe thousands.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I like Ubuntu, but honestly, I don't use any of the Ubuntu provided or default window managers. I prefer to use XFCE because with XFCE, I have control of the root window at the very at the very base of the of the stack, and I can display XEarth on the root window, and XEarth just rotates around during the day from the sun's point of view. I love it. I mean, I'm a child. What can I tell you?
What does that give you for a desktop?
Well, I think I put a screenshot up there on Discord a few weeks ago, but
I use XFCE. Rotating a background image type of
Every 5 minutes it updates, and so it just moves around just a little bit every 5 minutes or so.
Nice.
Right now, of course, the US is in the middle of it's almost midday here in Central Time Zone, so the US is coming around into is in full view. But if I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning, then Australia is in full view. Or if I'm up at 10 PM or something, Cape Town is in full view. However that works. But I think it's usually Europe that's in full view when I first get up very early in the morning, and then Australia's in full. Yeah, I knew you'd like that, Solbu. And then Australia's in full view. It's just nice to see that come. It's just fun to watch because I'm a child. That's just the way it is for me.
But speaking of the distributions, it all started with Unix back in 1969.
Sure.
But do you know or remember who actually was the first company who sold Unix? Not who distributed it, but who commercially sold Unix first?
I think it was AT&T Bell, right?
No. It was Microsoft.
No way.
Yes. There were a few distributions before Microsoft sold it, but Microsoft was the first to actually sell the system.
Huh.
Before that,
did they sell it as a server version or?
Or as a desktop.
Talk about coming full circle because of the well-known rivalry between Linux and Microsoft, and then Microsoft coming back into the fold again and starting to support Linux.
Yeah, the first version.
Linux, Solbu, or did you mean Unix?
Unix.
Ah,
Their name for the name for their copy of Unix was Xenix with an X.
I remember Xenix. I did not know that was a Microsoft distro.
Yeah, they sold that from 1980 to 1989.
Hmm.
And then 3 years later, Linux was born.
Yes, right.
And he wanted to have a Unix system at home, but a single user license for Unix in Finland in 1991.
Yes.
Was 20,000 Finnish marks.
I remember.
For a single user license.
Yes. So. I remember the motivation that that Linus had to write Linux for sure. So
if the Unix companies had the reasonable prices back then, all of this would not have happened.
But would it still be? I wonder if the open source industry or drive would be as powerful now as it, you know, if. Because none of the Unix distros would be open source, would they? They are all closed source.
They are all closed, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so the free software movement, they started rewriting from scratch all the utilities that you needed for have a full system. And in 1991, the single component missing was the kernel.
Yes.
And they had started building a kernel, but it was hard to debug. Because it was a modular kernel, mm-hmm. not a monolithic.
Yes.
So they had Stallman explained this in one of the Linux documentaries who are 20 years ago this year, and he explained it that the hard part was that they could communicate, the modules communicated, sending messages to each other, but the problem is, does this message come before or after this one sent this message? So.
That is always a problem with messaging systems.
Yeah.
I worked with the technology several years ago called CORBA, which is a similar thing. The company I worked for sold a product that implemented that standard, and we had a message bus product as part of that, bundled as part of that package, and that was always an issue. You had to make sure, you had to specify when you built a queue that messages traveled on, you had to say whether it was important that the messages were delivered in exactly the same order as they were placed on the queue. Because if they, you know, if it didn't matter and one message got lost or something, then you could just keep on going. But you had to then make sure you allowed for a message that might be missing. But if it mattered that the messages appeared in queue and one got dropped, potentially that would back messages up until somehow you freed up that message. So, yeah, it got interesting. There's all kinds of interesting stuff.
Yeah, and the interesting part, I watched 2 or 3 years ago, 2 years ago maybe, not in this issue, but at the other, there were two people who are important in creating Unix, and the other one is still alive, and he had a talk about
we have to let the other folks have a talk.
Yeah,
here too,
this would be their last. And he had a talk where he talked about how Unix started and why it started and so on. They had a printer that they wanted to get working.
Right.
And yep. On the printer, they wanted, it was big and powerful hardware, so they wanted to play games on the printer. That's how Unix started.
That was the justification. I remember the justification was a printer driver, for sure. I do remember that.
Yeah, and so. Then he talked to someone back then about the things that he had worked on it for 3 weeks, and he only needed 3 parts left. There were 3 programs that he needed, and at that point, when he told the other one what he was missing, it dawned on him that he was creating a new operating system, and that was not the intention.
Nice. All right, Doug, your turn, sir.
I told you a couple of weeks ago I was having trouble with Chrome on my Raspberry Pi 3. I'm trying to use it as an entertainment center, and I couldn't get Widevine to download to it. So I investigated Ubuntu, which I have on a desktop, and that's updated.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to get a version of Ubuntu that I can put on my Raspberry Pi 3. I found one, but when I try to boot it, it says it doesn't have SSH keys, so it won't boot all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to try to find a way to solve that. I found a link online which will allow me to download Ubuntu 20.04. So I'm going to try and see if I can make that work.
What does it need the SSH keys for?
I'm not sure. I'm not SSH, not going to SSH into this version of Ubuntu. So,
but it must think it needs SSH in order to talk to servers for package management or something.
Yeah, well, the version I have is a server version, so that might have something to do with it.
Well, it shouldn't. A distro is a distro is a distro, pretty much.
I really don't know much about SSH.
Yeah, the things that define whether it's a server version or whether it's a desktop version is what packages get included. Would you agree, Solbu? He's not listening. He's off playing. He's had enough fun for one day. I think what defines the difference between a desktop version and a server version of a system is what packages get included. I don't think the distro.
Yeah, and the big matters. Difference is that on a server, it's by default you don't have a graphical login.
Right.
But you can install a graphical login interface on a server. So
if Doug is having trouble with SSH keys, I suspect that it has to do with the PC or the Raspberry Pi that you've installed it on somehow needing keys to talk to the server that manages the packages that Ubuntu needs to download. That's my gut reaction there. But those SSH keys should have been included on the distro that you downloaded. So if they're not there, I would be wondering if that distro that you downloaded was complete or not corrupted.
Yeah, well, I would
think that... Yeah, but if it is the SSH keys...
Got another one.
Yeah, exactly, Peter. Yeah. Download it again and try it again. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try the 20.04 and see if that works.
Yeah, but I think is going on is the SSH keys... they are not shipped in any distribution. The biggest security hole is shipping the SSH keys because they will be the same all over. They are automatically generated the first time you install the SSH daemon package.
Well, then how do they connect those keys back to the server in order to get a good connection to get packages?
The packages are not signed by SSH. They are signed by GPG, PGP keys.
So, what are the SSH keys used for?
For logging into the server.
He doesn't care about doing that. But it won't boot without the SSH keys. It might be having trouble generating the SSH keys then before the first boot. That might be what it is.
Yeah, it might.
And I believe I've had that problem with Raspberry Pi as well. When you try to do a keygen, it can't get a source of random data.
Yeah, I remember Peter Reinholsen. He is the one who created the installer that Debian and Ubuntu uses. And one of the problems he had 10 years ago or 11 years ago, I'm not sure, was that...
He
had the same problem. But the installer it started to install, and then at some point it just stopped and waited for something.
And he
found that.
He had to type on his keyboard, didn't he, to provide the random data? Okay.
He found that no matter what he did, anything he did fixed the problem. So it just needed some random data. So
I remember you told us that story a few weeks ago in Coffee Break. That's right. That might be your trick, Doug. Maybe it's just waiting on random data and it can't find it. Maybe you just have to move the mouse and just keep tapping on the keyboard until it's happy that it's got all the source of data that it needs.
One thing that he did was that he ran the find command in one of the terminals in the installer, find / enter, and it searched, and then it searched the entire root tree for anything, and that was enough for
because that would cause it to list every file on the file system.
I wonder if also the card has gone, it might have been a bit belly up a little bit.
That's possible, but I'm not ready to suspect the card yet. I think Cyber's hit on this. I think that source of random data is certainly the first thing to try. So
I can try that.
Yeah, please do, Doug. I think that'll solve it. Just see if you can open another terminal and then do that find command and see if that will do it for you.
Or connect a mouse, have a mouse connected and just move the mouse around.
Right. How do I open a terminal on a system that isn't fully booted?
Carefully. you actually have a keyboard on that terminal, right? You have a keyboard when you try to boot it, though. Otherwise, you can't see where it's failing.
Well, I have it on my TV, so that's the monitor, and I don't have a keyboard or a mouse hooked up because the keyboard that I would be using would be this.
And it hasn't connected yet, right? Is that
correct?
What I'm hearing? Oh dear.
Correct.
Okay, I don't know how to fix that unless you literally plug up a keyboard to one of the USB ports on the Raspberry Pi.
I can do that.
That's what you're going to have to do.
Would that put a cursor on the screen? Because there's none there now.
No, it's a text. No, it'll be a text. It'll be a text.
In order to have a cursor on the screen, I think you have to connect a mouse. Then you will get a cursor. But
even on a text, this will be a text screen, though, right? I mean, there won't be anything to show.
No graphics.
Can he open up another terminal with Control Alt F2?
I can. Yeah.
But I don't know if that will let him log in, though. That's all.
Okay, we're at 34 minutes here.
Yeah, I know. But we didn't start until like 11:05. So we've got a few minutes for Peter to talk real quick. Okay. So it's got to be quick, Peter. I'm sorry, man. I apologize.
That's all right. Don't worry. I'm going for the virus on Wednesday, by the way, for the injection on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Is that the first one or the second one?
First one.
Okay. Apparently the second one's a real pain from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine got a bad reaction to it.
Yeah.
A real bad reaction. He also had a bad reaction to hypercortisone as well the other day.
Okay.
Made general, it all swell up, which was quite a laugh. Really.
Oh, nice. Oh, jeez. A real pain.
I told him to sell the blanket.
Yeah, jeez. All right, let's find another subject. I'm about to shut us down here.
Chinese clock. Right.
Yeah.
I put the arrow outside, and it worked a lot better. I got
the one with the GPS that wouldn't get a good GPS lock is working better now. Oh, good, excellent, well done.
But I also discovered that I keep seeing 5 volts on the antenna. And I think, what's that 5 volts on there? Are they tuning the antenna? Which is very good.
No, they have to power the antenna, don't they? Is it not one of those active antennas?
It is an activated antenna. Yeah.
Oh,
I realize it's got a full pre-amped sign of some sort. I was going to ask you lot if I could download the suitable bit of English bit on that. They talk about RS-232 commands to access the time, which was asked the other day. And somewhere in all the funny gobbledygook English, it tells you the command lines, which are star and something. And what I'm trying to look at.
I'd have a hard time believing that they have to put Chinese characters on the command line to make you to make it so you can get the time. I think it still has to be characters on the keyboard that you can type.
They are, but the actual website, the top of the website is in Chinese.
Okay.
Go further down, there's an English bit, but it's not in good English, it's in new-flung English.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, I understand. That's the way it works.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to have to shut it down. I'm sorry about that. We had a fun time, as always. Have a good afternoon, everybody. I've enjoyed it, as always, and see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye. There we go. Bye-bye.